Well, it is another day and time for another episode of the Daily Journey Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Scott Pontier. Glad to have you on the podcast today. It's a podcast where we're having everyday kind of conversations with people in the midst of global pandemic and just talking about how we're processing our daily journey. So if that's a helpful thing for you to be part of that conversation, I would love for you to subscribe. Look up Jamestown Harbor Church on any really podcast app that you play. We're not on Spotify or anything, you know, super fancy and millennial like that, but you can listen on our website, jamestownharborchurch.org. Look for the daily podcast series in our sermon section, or yeah, like I said, subscribe on iTunes, Overcast, stuff like that. Yeah, hope you are doing well in this beginning week here of May. Can't believe we're in May. Remember when it was March, like 5 minutes ago? But yeah, today we've got Betsy Fernandez on the podcast today. I'm excited for you to listen to Betsy because Betsy is just one of the most joyful people I know. And if you've been around Jamestown Harbor Church for a little while, you might know Betsy from the worship team. She sings on stage once, twice a month. And her and her husband, Nick, have three lovely children who you may hear in the background of this. So I had to do a little editing here and there, but they, you know, she's a mom and has three little kids. So that's part of her story. And you might hear them show up a little bit here. But yeah, great conversation with Betsy, talking a little bit about what we're thankful for and talking a little bit about Sunday mornings, things like that. So have a listen here to my conversation with Betsy Fernandez.
It was funny, like the first couple weeks getting used to everything, I noticed that my demeanor was much sweeter to the kids because maybe I was trying to impress Nick or something.
Really?
What a good parent I was. And then
you're like, he's showing up in my, it's like he's doing a supervisor visit, yeah, right? In your workplace as stay-at-home yes. mom. And you're like, oh no, we've got this all figured out. Yeah. It's great.
So that was kind of funny. And then I just kind of stayed in that. So yeah. I think it was good for him to be home, but it was very strange, for him to just be right up there. And I kind of would like need his help with the kids or whatever issues. And then knowing, okay, well, he's not really here. He's working. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an adjustment for you too. Like your expectations of like, is he parenting right now? Isn't he parenting right now?
Did you clock out yet?
Right. Was that frustrating for you?
No, I don't think it was because actually his days were a little shorter.
So you had more of him anyways.
Yeah. So that was really nice. So he would normally, like a normal schedule would be, he would leave at 7 mm-hmm. And then be home by 4:30.
Right, yeah.
And then when he was working upstairs, he would mosey on up maybe 8 o'clock and come down around 4. He would, you know, jump on the trampoline with the kids at lunch, and that was fun. But now he's like leaving at 7, coming home after 5. So
yeah,
is what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. What's been the most stressful thing for you in this season?
You know,
I feel like your kids, I guess, like they're not going to school, but mm-mm. they didn't all go to school. Before, right?
Max right. Didn't, right. Yeah. No. So
that's not different for him at least, but.
No, I think it was hard on him because the kids were always around and he had me full time. Yeah. So that was a hard adjustment for Max, but Penny, she went to school 2 days, so she doesn't really, whatever.
Yeah.
And I think Drew is happy home. He loves not having to go off. It was kind of a battle every day to get him on the bus anyway.
Ooh, is that going to make it worse? When they do go back next year?
I think it will for him. Yeah. But Penny will be attending the same school as him next year, hopefully. So I think that will be a good, they'll be hopping on the same bus.
So at least it's not. Good. Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Mm-hmm. So overall, like, you know, the inconvenience of this situation hasn't been super high for you guys, has it?
No, and actually I kind of thrive without a schedule, and I like go with the flow, and I kind of, and I'm a homebody, so I'm happy home.
Yeah.
There are certain things that I miss, like I miss my work friends and being at work and doing, you know, rewarding work. But yeah. I really love having this time home with my kids, which they're at such great ages because they don't miss out on friends, and we don't live in a neighborhood where I have to keep them away from anybody. Mm-hmm. I mean,
what was your work schedule like beforehand?
So I worked 2 days. I just worked Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Okay.
Hard to remember. And so then my mom would come here and be with the kids. And so my parents are missing that, and my kids are really missing that.
Yeah. Have they not interacted with grandparents at all in this situation, or?
We were doing just window visits and that kind of thing. And then just Sunday we had my parents over to sit on the porch or the patio, because it was so nice.
Yeah.
And we just sat outside and did kites and bubbles. And so that was really, that was like a cup filler.
Yeah.
Like it was just, I think all the way around for them, for us, for the kids, it was just good. So
have you found your cup being empty recently?
So I think my cup is empty in the sense that I think part of my fulfillment is people, is having my people, and then knowing their lives. So that fills my cup, is when I have my close coworkers and my friends, you know, not seeing them face to face and laughing hysterically with them. That fills my cup. So that, in a sense, has been rough.
You don't get to laugh enough. You like to laugh.
I know. I love to laugh. I know. We did have a good laugh, a double over last week. So that was good. But other than that, it's just, we laugh at the kids now.
I mean, they're a little bit source of an entertainment for you.
They are.
Yes. Mm-hmm. When they're not trying to murder each other and you have
exactly. 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 Yeah. So it's been good.
How's Nick been dealing with everything? Like, has he been a little stressed out by it, or rolling with it pretty well as you seem to be?
Yeah, I think he's rolling. I think he keeps a lot of the things that make him stressed kind of bottled up, which, I mean, good or bad, but he's kind of just our strong pillar. So whether I don't watch the news, I don't read articles about anything. And I think that's kind of what keeps me in this like little bubble of peace. And we're just kind of like wrapping up in this little, this is just,
we're out on our farm and
exactly
with our family and
exactly
stuff's happening out there, but we're like, do you feel guilty about that? I'm not saying you're good, but
yeah, sometimes. And I know that like friends of mine really take all these articles and all this information flooding in, and I don't know how they can keep up, and I don't know how they can keep any joy, because you know, there's just things just raining down on them. But
I always kind of, I mean, I'm probably a little more in touch than you are with that kind of stuff, but I tend to believe if I need to know it, I'm gonna know it.
Someone's going to get it to me.
Yeah, Betsy's going to tell me when I'm talking to her. Or somebody right?
There's going to be an alert somewhere on my phone. Yep. Or a siren, right? I can always look for a siren.
That's your level of, I need to know something when a siren is going? Okay.
Yep.
Okay, that's good to know.
It's hard to hear out here, but I'm sure it'll be loud if I need to know.
All right, so you represent the portion of people who are in the rural experience right now, right? We're out on the farm.
Totally.
I mean, we're all socially isolated, but you're like, even more so. Yeah, I'm not like checking my Facebook all day long or anything.
Right? And then I don't have to worry about like egg shortage because we have our own, so.
Well, I'm interested to hear what kind of questions you have thought about in this little process here. So, especially given that perspective of, I have painted a caricature of you alone on a 40-acre farm miles out of town, no connection to a newspaper.
Yeah. So, okay. So my first question starts with a statement, and it's, okay. I'm feeling very thankful for certain things during this time. What are some of the things that you're thankful for?
What am I thankful for right now? You know, I am thankful for some of the conversations I get to have with my family right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our kids are kind of at different ages, right? So your conversations with kids, I imagine, look very different than mine, but like,
yes.
You know, young teenagers and stuff, like we have our own. I mean, we fight about stuff too, you know, every day there's something we're yelling about, but,
mm-hmm.
By and large, my kid came in this morning and was like, so if people don't have jobs, how are they getting food? Right. And so we mm-hmm. had a conversation about unemployment.
And exactly.
That means, and I said, well, and also like, you know how mom goes to the middle school a couple times
yes.
a week to hand out like food for folks, and she takes
mm-hmm.
some food home for us. And
mm-hmm.
Like that's a way we help make sure people have food when mm-hmm. they need it. And so that's number one. I think I'm really thankful for those like conversations with my teenagers. I don't know
yeah.
how much longer they'll be interested in talking to me.
So, probably not much.
Yeah. I am also thankful that, you know, simple things like we have a job right now
mm-hmm.
still, and I know lots of people don't, and that means, I don't have that. I'm thankful for not having that stressor, you know?
Yeah.
But I think I'm mostly thankful for like you guys in my church, right? Like I am,
mm-hmm.
I get connected to lots of pastors through lots of different ways, and I hear about all kinds of different experiences, and like our church is great and amazing, and they care about people, and they allow me to lead well, I feel like, and they
mm-hmm.
empower me to do that. And so like my life, you know, gets connected to my job in a way that maybe other people's don't, but
mm-hmm.
as a ministry pastor thing. But I feel like what I've found is like, man, there's so much joy in what I get to do.
Mm-hmm.
The people I get to hang out with and talk with and lead. And
mm-hmm.
so I'm super thankful for that. And I'm super thankful for this podcast because
mm-hmm.
even if nobody else is listening to it, I look forward to the fact that I get to have some meaningful conversations with people like you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, the stress of it all is really low for me right now.
Yeah.
Because of all of those factors, I think there's more important things that I get to be thankful for. And
yeah,
it certainly is stressful to try to figure out how do we exit this period
mm-hmm.
in the right way. I don't think I have an answer to that right now,
mm-hmm.
but I know there's enough smart people around that can help figure it out too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. You know, and the resources that you can get from, you know, bigger corporations will be so handy, because they can pay for the people to figure it out. And then we can just kind of use their knowledge and kind of coast into it too.
This is not a thing we have to figure out on our own, right?
Right, exactly.
You know, like I was on a, I saw a video webinar the other day about like small and medium sized churches
mm-hmm.
and what they're thinking around reopening, and just going, oh, here's six people that are talking about it that are like me. And like,
mm-hmm.
oh, there's wisdom in that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is great.
Anything for you that strikes as like the thing I'm really most thankful for?
So just the other day I was thinking, wow, like we just are passing through this last bit of winter into spring, and my kids have been healthy every single bit of the way, you know,
wow,
and they,
yeah.
when your kids are young, you know how they pick up the colds and then everybody gets the cold. So we've been healthy, and, you know, you forget about how many sleepless nights you have when someone has a sore throat or an
yeah.
ear infection or can't sleep well because they have a cold. So that's been really great for me.
Yeah.
That we're just,
well, yeah, especially as you are like the navigator of the household here, like it keeps
mm-hmm.
things calmer that way.
For yeah.
sure. Yeah.
More predictable maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, I just really have been enjoying like kind of these relaxed days and then cooking things that I enjoy,
oh.
not because I have to,
yeah.
but because, hey, it's kind of fun. I have the time to make a meal, and that's been fun for me. I like a good Dutch meal.
What's been something that you made recently that either you've tried out for the first time or you're like, no, I really, this was amazing?
So we did like carne asada in the Dutch oven, and then I made some really good cilantro lime rice, and I really felt like I was like at Qdoba, and it was top notch, and it's going in our rotation, and it was really tasty.
So now you're like, we're going to keep doing this again and again.
Yeah, until I run out of beef in my freezer.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Yeah. What do you think? Before you jump on to the next one, what do you think? Like, I know we kind of talked about your kids might not be like noticing per se what's happening right now, but is there anything that's particularly like grateful that they're engaged in right now or that they might be grateful for besides Minecraft?
Yeah, Drew loves that Minecraft. I would say I think they just love having me home, which I didn't realize like that was something that they would miss because their sitter situation is my mom.
And it's grandma, right?
It's grandma. So that's simple, and it's always the same person. We don't have to worry about illnesses because it's grandma.
Yeah. So I don't have to do the daycare or whatever.
Yeah, but the first couple weeks, you know, when they went to bed, they would say, are you home tomorrow, mom? And I would say, yep, home tomorrow. So that's been really wonderful. So I think they're most thankful that I'm here, which makes me even feel better because they like nice mom.
It's one of the things that I'm like observing and noticing right now. And I'm thinking a lot about in terms of like our church and what God's doing in the midst of like our families. Right. I keep coming back to this idea of family intimacy, which is newer for us now because it's like, well, I am with these people all day long and how's that going? And I think a lot of us, not all of us, a lot of us are finding, I actually do get along with these people. I actually do like these. I really appreciate these people. And I wonder what that's going to feel like on the other side when, I don't know, maybe will our schedules change because we decided to change them because this matters to us now, right?
I think for us it will. I mean, I find myself even saying to Nick all the time, I'm so thankful that we have what we have because he, you know, if I didn't really care much for having him around, it would be tricky. But I'm just so thankful that we have, you know, this relationship and that we can be together and be happy together. So
I keep finding myself in the place of saying, you know, like, let's snap our fingers and tomorrow morning, every business and opportunity is open just like it was before. And I'm not really sure I would be like that interested in going a lot of places, not because I'm afraid, just because I'm like, I don't know, it's fine here. It feels like a lot of work to get in the car and go somewhere now.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's like a big win too, that I'm thankful for, of like recognizing, oh, that family unit thing is, it feels different now for us and I'm more engaged in it. And, I would love to keep that going and I don't have a need to, I don't know, go do a bunch of other stuff instead.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Certainly it's keeping my bills down too. I'm sure spending a lot less money than I usually do.
Me too. And I also feel like I'm maybe a little bit more tight with my money. Like there's certain things where I'm like, I don't think so, but
I'm going to click add to cart a lot less often right now. Right.
Yeah.
So what's the second question you got for me?
So I am very much missing Sundays, church Sundays, and gathering with everybody and worshiping, especially my particular community, which is our praise team.
Sure. So, I miss you singing on the worship team too.
I'm singing at home. So if you come in through Byron Center, you'll hear me in the backyard. but what is the thing about Sundays that you miss the most, and what parts of Sundays will you feel differently about when we return?
Yeah, I think, I was just having a conversation with some preachers this week. And at the beginning of our preaching meeting, we were asking a question of like, what are you learning right now? And part of the answer was something around, I'm learning that I'm not as important to this thing as I thought I was. And by that, sort of what we're observing is the thing we miss the most tells us a lot about what we value the most. And the thing I heard you say, and the thing I think I'm feeling too, is there's a thing that's together that we miss, right? Because, I mean, honestly, it's 2020. if you want to hear great preaching, if you want to see or experience great worship, there's a million links on the internet you can get to go do that. That's not necessarily the reason we show up on a Sunday morning.
Right.
Right. But I tend to think maybe it is like the part of my brain that will connect with that goes, oh yeah, that's really important. Right. And I'm not saying it's not, but right now you kind of don't care if I like mess up in a sermon on a video when you watch it on a Sunday. Nope. You don't care if the music is somebody with a guitar in a corner of their bedroom, you know, like, our standard is really low right now for that kind of stuff. Yeah. And what it means is like, that's not the most important thing to us. And so if that's true, then the thing that's most important is the thing that we do together.
Yeah.
Like there's something, the way I talked about it this week is, I don't know what that is when we're together. But there's something transcendent about that experience from time to time, right? Like there's something that gives you chills when you're in the group together about the experience around, around God and his word and worship and all that kind of stuff. So I think I'll think a little bit differently about what we're planning and putting together on a Sunday morning that recognizes that value most. I don't know what that means. I don't know how that'll change something. But man, that's what I miss a lot. Preaching to a camera isn't fun.
I can't
see you and interact with you.
Right. Do you feel like that's kind of like that fuel? Cause I feel like that's what I miss to get me through to the, you know, to start my week. It's like that fuel, it pours into my cup and then, you know, kind of extends through the weekends, that Sunday community of worship. And then, you know, the words are great and the words are, we bring them in and we take it in, but it's just not, you know, it's just not the same. So it's not.
I mean, it's it's not bad, and
no,
but it's a different thing, right? So again, like I was talking about family intimacy, like the thing that we're experiencing on a Sunday morning now is more about these conversations and shared family thing that we
have. Yeah.
That's a different thing than what we're doing on Sunday morning before all this happened.
Right.
So I don't think it's less than or better than, I think it's different than. And, but that doesn't, so that means I miss the other thing because of, of that. I miss a different thing. And I don't know, maybe it's a thing we're just really used to. There's a great chance that that's not going to come back for a while. Right.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And we're going to have to do a different other thing that, that. I mean, Christians in the first century and for hundreds of years, like they didn't have that. They were, they were in houses together, you know, like, I don't know what that means for us. And, but I think, I really miss, I certainly miss seeing people in that setting. Like I have now not talked to you for like 2 months. Right.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
before, like I, every couple of weeks, at least I was going to see
Exactly.
So I miss, every time I see a name or see a person or have another call with someone or something like that, I'm like, oh yeah, you are my life and I miss you.
Yeah. I found myself, when I was doing grocery shopping at Meijer in Hudsonville, I'm like looking at everybody. Is there going to be anybody from my church here? I'm looking everywhere. And I was like, will I recognize their eyes, you know? And I didn't see anybody. And when I came home, Nick was like, well, how was it? And I was like, well, I didn't see anybody I knew, so.
Yep, that was the important thing, right? Yeah. And if you did, what do we do?
Like, I know.
Wave at each other. And,
just slow kiss, I guess. I don't know.
Abby and I have been talking about, like, hospitality in a world where we may have to do, like, a house church situation, right?
Yeah.
Like this. And she said she had this really interesting reflection of what hospitality means now versus what it used to mean. It doesn't mean handshakes and hugs anymore.
Yeah.
Right? It means questions and it means wearing a mask, right? It's making you feel safe and like using your words and rather than your hands, right? And that's an interesting concept to me.
It is.
We're not I'm not sure we know how to do that yet. We're not practicing.
No, I'll look in. Always listening to something, so we'll see what some of those verbal skills instead of some nonverbal stuff.
I'm reading this it's a fiction book called The Expanse. It's all the science fiction stuff. And they talk about people who've grown up on Mars, people who've grown up on Earth and on the moon and in this asteroid belt. And they talk about these people who grew up in the asteroid belt, and they have their communication is much more physical because they're people who grew up living in spacesuits a lot more. So they use hand signals to nod instead of like nodding their head because you're in a helmet kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I always think about we are now in a culture of the thumbs up.
Right? Yeah.
Because we're on Zoom calls and going, how you guys doing? And the response is not verbal, but it's physical with a thumbs up, right?
Yeah.
When I close a Zoom call, I give them a thumbs up. And it's, are we going to do that in real life? I don't know.
I hope not.
Yeah.
That's funny. We'll have to come up with something else, like post-COVID. This is our new hand signal.
Yeah. But that idea of hospitality in a different framework of like helping people feel comfortable and safe is more important than people even feeling welcomed, maybe. Or maybe that is how they feel welcomed. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, that's I miss all that kind of stuff with church. I miss our ability to be hospitable with each other. You know, I miss our ability to tell people we love them and to have this like shared transcendent experience around God. And we'll get to again, but yeah, I certainly miss it now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's I miss having, you know, the worship team hanging around and being with them in the morning and the setup team and all that kind of stuff.
Agreed.
Yeah. When did you guys start coming to Jamestown Harbor? How did you make that? Like, how did you get there?
So we were attending South Harbor.
Okay.
And we were living here. Drew was baptized by Tim over at South Harbor, and then
that was it for you. Forget it, man. We're out. That experience ruined it.
It's over. And then we were at launch at Jamestown. So they were saying, you know, we're going to launch a church. And we're like, hey, we live in Jamestown. And so we thought, well, we'll try it. So we were at launch and been there ever since, quietly for, you know, the beginning, because it was always nerve wracking. You don't know anybody and nobody else knows anybody.
Yeah.
But just grew to love it. And then I think my biggest thing, like once again, connecting with people.
Yeah,
I love to do nursery, and I got to know a lot of the people just because I took care of their kid, and I
saw
the stress when they're passing off their kid, and I felt that because I had the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then did a lot of stuff with kids stuff, and then when that got to, I couldn't do both worship and kids, so I had to pick what really filled up my cup because I really love it.
Well, I can't imagine this church without the Fernandez family. So.
Oh, that's sweet.
So glad you guys are here and so glad that you decided to say yes to join me for a conversation today.
Happy to do so. It was the only thing on my calendar today. So.
Well, awesome. Well, when I run out of the list of friends, I'll put it back on your calendar.
That sounds good.
All right. Thanks.